This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to Around Macoupin County. My guest on this weekend's show is Gloria Cedar. She's the mayor of Bunnell. Welcome to the show, Gloria.
Thank you.
Gloria, we're going to talk today about the recent mine subsidence that occurred in Bunnell, and we'll let you talk a little bit about, from being the mayor there and a resident, what was it like the morning of April 8th when the first word came there might be something going on?
That morning, I was getting ready to come up to the office when the police chief called me and told me he needed to speak to me immediately, that he was parked outside my home. And I went outside, and he told me that we had problems over on Dorsey Street, which is a block from my home, and that it appeared to be mine subsidence. They had our fire chief down there, who is the head of emergency management for the city, and they had already contacted Mr. Jim Pitchford, who is the head of Macoupin County Emergency Management, and they were on their way here. I immediately went into the house and called Senator Menard to let him know this was going on and to actually ask for some phone numbers for state DNR, you know, Department of Natural Resources and Mines and that type of thing. And Senator Menard advised me to get outside, take care of what I had to take care of here, and he would make those phone calls for me, which he did. Within less than half an hour, I believe Mr. Pitchford was here, and by 9 o'clock, 9:30, we had people here from DNR. Ameren was here because we were having issues with methane gas in addition to the subsidence, which we could visually see occurring. We were also having methane gas bubbling up from the ground, and it was not Ameren's gas. It wasn't the gas that they put the chemical with so that you can smell it. This was odorless. And the whole day right now, I'll be honest with you, it's still kind of a blur. It was an extremely long day. We watched as these cracks spread. I know at 8 o'clock in the morning, they were approximately half a block from my house. By 8:30, I was seeing hairline cracks in my own foundation because we were using that as a judge, you know, to see how far it had gone by watching the cracks in the ground and in basements. By 10 o'clock that morning, a hairline crack in my foundation was large enough that you could stick your hand in sideways. And it went on for a two-block area. It started at Dorsey. By the end of the day, it appeared as though it had stopped at West Spruce Street, which we believe right now it seems to be contained in that area. We do know that, and that was the initial part, that was the major part, that was the largest drop. It is continuing to drop. It is continuing to shift, much like the school did. And it will continue over the course of probably 10 years. It was an extremely busy day. Ameren was wonderful. They were here immediately. They had their methane readings, you know, the monitors out. They determined that it was not their gas, which we knew. They shut down the area immediately so that we could not have any explosions, turned off everybody's electricity, everybody's gas. They stayed and they monitored the situation throughout the night. They brought in their workers. They were wonderful. I can't say enough about Ameren. I really cannot. It was not their gas. It was not their problem. You couldn't have asked for a better company to work with. They continued to monitor that situation for the next few days, and they were here 24/7. I couldn't have asked for any more help from anyone. DNR came. They started taking the readings, monitoring, tracking this thing. They're still not done doing that. They have it done on Dorsey Street. They've completed yesterday. I think they were finishing up on Illinois. They're now going to, I know this morning, they're getting ready to put the flags in and track this down Kentucky. They have put in some type of monitoring system where they can collect the gas to make sure that there are no more methane gas leaks. Those leaks appear to have stopped at this point, but we don't know where they were coming from. We know they weren't from the gas lines, and they are going to continue to monitor that situation. They are running tests on the sample gases that they took, and from those tests, they're hoping to be able to deduce where that methane is coming from. It can be coming from one of two places. It can be coming from the mine itself. It can also be coming from rotted ancient vegetation, plant life, above the mine that was released when these cracks opened in the ground. So they are going to attempt to find out where it's coming from so we can then see, or they can see, what they need to do to deal with the situation. That day was very hectic. We went door to door advising people that this had happened, telling them why their power and their gas was being shut off. Nobody's life, the most important thing at that time was the life safety issue. We did not want anybody to be hurt. We did not want a gas explosion. And thank God, no one was hurt, and we did not have that explosion. So that was a good thing. Our city crews came out. They shut down everything they could. We were quite concerned at that time because we had put in a new 8-inch water line within the last 10 years. We were afraid that with the ground shifting that we were going to lose that line, which would then shut off water to that section of town. And we also have one of our bigger lift stations is within a block of this area, and we were quite concerned that we might lose that lift station. We didn't do that either, and the guys monitored that during that period. They were there all night. They were sleeping in their trucks there that night, that first night, to make sure we did not lose that lift station, or if we did, you know, they could implement something to try to alleviate the problem to the citizens a little bit. There's not a lot you can do in that situation.
You mentioned your home damaged as well as others, and you spoke about subsidence, or I guess the going down of the ground, or however you describe it, will continue to go on. Does that mean the damage that's to some of the homes, maybe even your own, will get worse over time?
It will continue to get worse over time, yes, most definitely. I noticed between Wednesday and yesterday, I have more cracks in my foundation. The initial cracks are bigger than they were that first day, which was Wednesday. I have a detached garage. There was no damage done to my garage at all on day one. By Thursday, there were huge problems I was seeing with my garage. And yes, this will continue to go on over probably a 10-year period. I spoke with a gentleman from DNR, Department of Natural Resources, yesterday who was out there taking readings and following these cracks in the earth, and he advised me that last year, which was, this is year 9 of the occurrence at the school, last year at year 8, they went out to take readings, and there still is movement out at the site where the school was. It's a minimal movement, but movement will continue until everything has fallen in that tunnel, and there's, you know, no place else for that to go. So we're going to see this movement over time. I was advised on day one that repairs to homes should not be made initially because the damages are going to continue.
Are the damages now a question for insurance, or what is the next procedure for those who would have had damage to their homes or structures?
I have mine subsidence insurance through my insurance company. I've learned a lot about mine subsidence insurance since last Wednesday. Mine subsidence insurance is required of all homeowners. The mine subsidence endorsement that is on your policy is not through the insurance company. It's set up through a state agency. The insurance companies are conduits. They collect the money for that, that is then turned over to the state agency. When mine subsidence occurred, and one of the first things I did, I called my insurance company by 9 o'clock the morning, the day of the incident, not to file a claim on my property, but because I was advised by one of the men who was there from the state at that point in time to do that in order to get a number set up. You have to have a case number. To have a case number set up so it would expedite things for other people who would then be calling in. I called my insurance company. They then called the state agency, the mine subsidence agency, and got the ball rolling on that end. And at that point, then, it's turned over to the mine subsidence agency. The insurance company has no more to do with it. The next call I received was from, I take that back, it was from my company telling me that someone from the state agency would be contacting me. The gentleman was at my home on, one day is rolling into another, he was there Monday. And he came in, he looked at the damages, he recorded my damages, he also measured the tilt on my buildings to see how much movement and how much damage had occurred initially. He advised me, and we have been advising citizens who have asked, if you have damages, you make repairs for anything that involves life safety. For example, I cannot open the front door on my house. Eventually, and I can do that now, I need to make the repairs necessary so I can open that door. I can't close my back door. I can make the repairs to close that back door. But I shouldn't do anything that is permanent. Right now I have these cracks in my foundation, some of them very large. Permanent repairs cannot be made to those cracks until this event is deemed to be over. But what I can do is I can place flexible caulk or foam caulk in those to keep the elements and animals out. Because if there's more movement, and over the course of time we know there is going to be, or if there is another major movement like there was Wednesday, and there can be, if permanent repairs have been made, one of two things, well, actually two things are going to happen. One is, if I have made permanent repairs, it's now going to cause movement in my home to be more difficult. With foam or with flexible caulk, my house can continue to move and it's not going to push out somewhere else. That crack, you know, would possibly force that foam out, cause that flexible caulk to move, but I'm not going to develop another crack as a result of my making permanent repairs. Also, if I make a permanent repair, because it would be deemed the same incident, my final payout is not going to be as big. That repair would then have to be done again, and I would have already expended the funds when I made the initial repair, and there wouldn't be any monies there for me then.
So in other words, you advise residents who have been affected by this, the same thing, only temporary now, and then you deal with the permanent later.
Right.
In addition to the homes or residences that were damaged, what about damage to city property?
Yes, we're going to have expenses to the streets that were damaged. We are going to have expenses to some manholes that have sunk. And it could well be that eventually there may be damages to those water pipes and that lift station. We're keeping our fingers crossed, because this is going to be such a long, drawn-out period that we know there is going to be movement for at least 10 years. I mean, you know, heaven forbid that something happened to those structures, but there is a possibility that something could. And we're keeping our fingers crossed, and we're hoping now that that's not the case. Another possibility is that possibly the shifting did cause some problems in the sewer system. It's, you know, it's an older system. We're hoping not. We haven't seen anything yet. Naturally, with it, you know, it being underground, and you can't do a, you can't eyeball it to see if anything has happened. It's just, we're keeping our fingers crossed that we don't have any problems in the near future as a result of this.
With all of the IDNR, our mines people, and everybody who's monitoring this and stuff, has anybody told you or does anybody know how much more of Benelled could be affected, or do they have any idea? Were there like old maps? Were you told anything on that?
There are old maps. I was brought in a copy of Undermined Area just yesterday. And this is not a problem that is only going to visit Benelled. I don't mean to be gloom and doom, but the maps that I was brought in yesterday show major areas that have been mined out in Gillespie Township, Cahokia Township, Dorchester Township, Mount Olive Township. The largest area in the county appears to be here, but there are areas in Brushy Mound, in Carlinville, Shaw's Point, Nillwood. It eventually, and like I said, I don't mean to be gloom and doom, it's going to affect other areas, it's going to affect other communities. I think, and this is just my opinion, I think it may have started here because these mines were built in 1901. That's when these initial shafts were dug. And as we all well know, 1901 was a long time ago. I know the mine in Gillespie came after. This is going to be an ongoing problem.
Well, we have come to the end of our time here for the show, but we'd like to thank you, Mayor Benelled, Gloria Cedar, for joining us on the Around Macoupa County program.
Thank you for having me.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition for WSMI. I'm Rick Davis.